The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now, back to George Brockler. News Talk 710 KNUS. Denver's local talk leader.
Billy's mocking me because, as many of you know, I misidentified a Third Eye Blind song as the Spin Doctors in the last hour. Now Billy is proving his point. Yeah, I get it. Okay, I screwed that up. George Brockler right back with you here on The George Show, changing topics for a bit here because there was some breaking news. It was expected. It wasn't unexpected that the news would come out, but perhaps the result was it was about inflation. And if you were looking for positive news, you didn't get much of it this morning. And to help us have that conversation, we're being joined by Republican candidate. He's on the ballot in the primary for the United States Senate. In fact, he wants to take it over from a guy named Michael Bennett. His name is Joe O'Day. Joe, thanks for joining us.
George, thanks for having me on today. Great to be with you.
Is there any chance as you go through this campaign, you consider going the direction of like a Cher or a Madonna and truncating your name into one word and just going with Joe Day? Is there any chance?
You know, if that gets another vote for me, I'm all about it. We'll get rid of the O.
I think just Joe Day. Now, first off, I got the opportunity, the pleasure of meeting your wife. I think it was last week. I'm pretty sure she's voting for you. I feel pretty confident in that.
Yeah, I got a little bit out over my skis there. She's a pretty incredible love of my life. I've been with her for 40 years, man. She is a rock star.
Oh, congratulations, man. That's a big number. Tell us what it was about today's report that gives you the greatest concern. So here are my two questions. Why in the hell are we still having 8.3% inflation on the consumer price index measurement? How has Michael Bennett either aided or, I guess, made it worse? And what can you do to fix it? And those are a bunch of questions that'll take us over the course of the conversation. But that's where I was hoping to go.
Sure, sure. So let's just start with your choice. You either get to pick from 8.3% inflation this morning or $4.10 gas. I know it's unbelievable. We've got a government that's asleep at the wheel. There's no other answer. You've got what did they dump $1.9 trillion in last March after transitory. I had to look that word up. I didn't really understand it. That's some kind of term that means maybe it's going to go away. Well, it hasn't gone away. Inflation's at an all-time high. I mean, this is what Carter took 4 years to get it to this point, and Biden's, 14 months? Unbelievable.
They redefine transitory to be generation to generation, it still fits. But if it's meant to be shorter term than that, I think we've blown up the definition because it is not transitory. What are the reasons for us dealing, other than the $1.9 trillion, which, again, we've pumped trillions into the economy out of this frenetic, fearful, oh my God, the economy's going to collapse during the COVID thing. Other than that, what are some of the other things that Congress is doing or failing to do that's exacerbating this?
Well, you've got the Fed that's just been mismanaged. They were dumping money into this a lot earlier. They put Chairman Powell back in. Everybody's patting themselves on the back for getting him rehired, for getting rehired. And he hasn't got the job done. He's been asleep at the wheel. It took him 6 months to do the first increase to our interest rate to try and get this under control. We're way behind. They've been asleep at the wheel. Congress has dumped trillions of dollars in. And then these restrictions on oil and gas that they've got either nationally or here statewide, that's contributed to the lack of supply. That's why we're calling Venezuela to ask for fuel. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Let me ask you this then, in light of the fuel piece of this, and the reason that's critical, and I'm glad you brought that up, is that if you look at the inflation rate, the CPI from last time, it was 8.5%, and it dropped a little bit to 8.3%. But it looks like that entire drop is due to the fact that there was a temporary decrease in gas prices last month, and now we've already hit are high in those gas prices. So that thing is going to go away. When you look at what's going on with oil and gas, the things you talk about at the state level, 100% agree. You're not going to be able to fix that. You're a U.S. senator. You can't make Governor Polis bend to the will of the voters who said, please stop with all this end of fracking stuff. What can you do as a U.S. senator to make a difference for us on the gas stuff?
Well, you've got to get big government out of the way, right? We can't be holding up these federal permits. We can't be holding up what needs to happen over on the Western Slope. That's a big part of Colorado's economy as well. And the fact that, you know, they came out here, what was that, 3 weeks ago and announced that maybe they'd get a few of the permits going again. But at the same time, they were going to hike the price on the severance tax that they'd have to pay for those drilling spots. They're just not doing anything to encourage the drillers. And these guys run businesses. They need to have, you know, a competent policy that they can depend on for 10 years. They're not going to go make that investment at the whim of Joe Biden and two changes to a couple of permits. We need some consistency, and I think I can bring that. I come at it from a different perspective. It's a business guy's perspective, and I know if we inundate the supply, we'll lower the cost of fuels. And it's a bigger deal than the 410 gas. It's the 550 diesel that's contributing to every delivery cost, whether it's your groceries, whether it's concrete to a housing site. No matter what it is, it's up right now, and we can't even predict what it's going to cost in the future.
Well, it's pretty clear now, too, that this is no longer blamable solely on some sort of COVID-driven supply chain thing. This is driving up the cost almost everywhere, and gas is a big part of it because, as you know, when you start seeing airline tickets go up, and for a guy who just had to buy tickets for his daughter to come back from school, holy smokes, some of these plane tickets are crazy. It's because of the cost to produce the jet fuel and the other stuff. When you look at getting things from point A to point B, as you've described, Joe O'Day, that is all impacted by fuel. But it's becoming bigger than that. I mean, food prices, and I'm the guy that does shopping for us almost 80% of the time. I can't tell you how many times I've gone and said to myself, maybe we don't care anymore if it's organic, because the price of a gallon of milk is crazy. So if you're in the position that you seek, and that is to be the U.S. Senate, it doesn't sound like the answer is going to be just what the president is doing, which is to continue to release fuel or oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. What more do you think you could bring, at least to the local discussion as a U.S. senator? I mean, you can't make Governor Polis do anything. What can you do to help us get there?
Well, where's the accountability? That's kind of what I want to know. You know, you had Fauci here, on again mask, off again mask, change this policy, change that. There was no accountability there. Now you've got Powell, who's missed the mark. If he was working for my company, I'd have fired him. There's no way this is a monumental miss when it comes to the Fed. And Biden's not holding anybody accountable. Bennett's not holding anybody accountable. And I think it's time we send somebody to Washington, and I'll be the volunteer. Let's send me down there. I'll hold these guys accountable. That's how you get in front of this. We've got to change the policies. This isn't a personal thing. This is about policies and what's good for Colorado. It's pretty sad to me that we've got parents out there right now having to make decisions over whether or not they're going to have a vacation this year or put food on the table.
Well, that is true.
That's where we're at. This is about working Americans here in Colorado.
And the cost of living, which continues to be crazy. To that end, the inflation thing is real, and you're not going to turn it off overnight. So the Fed's response has been, and it started a month or so ago, is to continue to ratchet up the interest rate. And they're doing that in terms of the availability of funds that impacts mortgage rates and all this other stuff. If you are a U.S. senator and this inflation is there and we get it, it's the fault of the people that put all this easy to get free money, dumped it into the system, all these other things. Do you support the idea that we have to continue to ratchet up the mortgage rates to slow this economy down? Or do you think there's another option? And what is it?
Well, I think it's twofold. If we want to get ahead of this inflation, we've got to loosen up the permits on federal land so we can increase the production of oil and gas. We need to do that in the state here as well. We need to put pressure on on the guys from Boulder that are running Denver right now to let them know that, you know, $4.20 gas. I mean, we're at the bottom of this too. This is going to creep up some more. If we don't get some policies in place that give some confidence to the drilling and oil and gas producers, you know, across the United States, then they're not going to start to invest, and we're not going to get ahead of this. So I think that is really a key issue. And not that, you know, we want to kill the planet. That's not part of it. We need to keep up and make sure that, you know, we've got good renewable energy, but we also need to keep the fuels going that are actually servicing the country right now.
I'm glad you brought that up. We're talking with Joe O'Dea, Republican candidate for the United States Senate. He'll be on the ballot on June 28th. In fact, I think I'm going to see you at that Republican Rumble up there that we're helping host up at the Women of Weld event at the Grizzly Rose. Is that true?
Yeah, that should be good. We're excited about that. We can kind of demonstrate the difference between myself and the other candidate.
Yeah, boom. Let me ask you this, though. You brought up the green stuff. Doesn't this whole fuel thing, and I get the fix, but it's a longer-term fix. Like turning on the spigot, it just won't decrease, you know, oil overnight. But doesn't this give you incentive, Joe, to trade in all your cars for something that's all electric? Don't you really want to go all Tesla all day long?
Well, I would, but I don't know if I can afford it. And first off, you know,
they're not cheap cars,
right,
man. They're not cheap.
They're not cheap. They're not cheap, and they're not readily available right now either. I
True.
Mean, we've got, you know, issues here with mining for minerals in the United States. We've kind of put the moratorium on that, so we can't even produce those batteries here. So we got to get ourselves energy independence again, and that's it's going to take a little bit, but it'll be painful, but at least we'll be on the mend and working at it, as opposed to, I don't know what these guys are doing now. They're just waiting for it to change. That's insanity in my book, you know, same policies and waiting for change.
You heard the president. He's blaming it on the Republicans. And if he doesn't get all the people that he needs, like he wants a 60 vote majority there in the Senate, then he's not going to be able to put in place all the policies that'll fix this mess, which has nothing to do with anything that he's done. That's just what I took away from his speech. Can I shift gears for a moment, though, and ask you, because this is going on right now in the Senate also, and that is, we have this leak from the Supreme Court of the Roe versus Wade overturn opinion draft thing from Justice Alito. Does Congress have a role to play in trying to discover the source of that leak or to try to address that leak? Or is that a separation of branches thing where it's like, this is up to the Supreme Court to figure out, but I think it sucks or whatever? The other part of that is they're talking now about a nationwide either a abortion law or abortion ban. It doesn't really matter which side of the coin you're on. Where does Joe O'Dea come down on that on two parts? Is that a federal issue? And if it is, what is it you want to see or what would you support as we have this debate?
Well, I think, you know, going back to the leak itself, you've got to let the judicial department take care of that. We can't have, in my opinion, you can't have a third branch of the government going in and looking into that. Those guys are capable of doing it themselves. It's all attorneys. They've got sworn oaths. They got to figure that out.
And you know how broken they are.
Yeah, exactly. That's their deal. And then back to, they're going to have a vote on it here, I think, today or tomorrow. On it, and you know, I think the people are going to land where they are. People have very, very passionate thoughts about abortion on both sides. Personally, I don't agree with a late term. I can't support, you know, the law that we have here in Colorado currently that just got passed. That's I think reckless. And then secondly, I couldn't support putting limits on women earlier in the pregnancy. That's between them and their doctor. That's not my role. My wife and I'm Catholic. I'm adopted. We've prayed over this, and this is kind of where, you know, we land. Might not be popular with a lot of people, but that's where I'm at. At the end of the day, we need to support, you know, more adoption. It worked out for me. I'm really blessed. I got adopted by a middle-class family here. My dad's a 30-year veteran of the Denver Police Department, and I'm with a loving family. And I don't know my biological parents, but I'm indebted to the fact that they got to put me with a great family, and I've had a great life. So I think we need to invest in that.
It sounds like, and I don't want to mischaracterize it, it sounds like what you're saying is, listen, personally, I'm Catholic, I'm a pro-life guy, but as a matter of policy, I do think that early on, whatever that is, and you can define that, early on, I do think that women, or let's you and I be honest now, it can't be women, it's just people who are capable of pregnancy. I don't know if you've heard that term change, but now gender's irrelevant, Joe. So people who are capable of pregnancy, that they should have some timing there at the front end where they're able to make decisions. But when we get later, and you're right to point out that Colorado has the most liberal abortion law, I think, maybe in the world. Like, you can abort a child up through high school graduation or something like that. It feels like it's really extreme. But that's what you're saying, is I don't come down as an absolute yes in every circumstance or an absolute no in every circumstance.
I think I'm like most of the country right now. There's got to be, some common sense. I also grew up thinking that government doesn't need to be involved in every decision. I think that's part of the problem we see right now, is big government never helps us. It just never does. So that's where I'm going to come down on the issue. And like I say, that's just me.
Well, let me then ask you the piece that I was driving at with the 18-part question I asked you, so I don't blame you for not getting right to it, is if Roe is overturned and Casey's overturned by this opinion that Alito penned, it's going to send it back to the states. But now you see this movement in Congress to want to have federal input on it. And so while you're saying, I get it, hey, government shouldn't be involved in every single decision, I appreciate that and I respect that and I agree with that. Let's get to the point, though, of is this an issue for the federal government or is this an issue for state government? Some level of government's going to address this. What level should it be?
You know, I guess if it was put in front of me, I would probably vote to codify Roe v. And Casey. But at the same time, I can see it being a state's issue as well. So I don't really have a personal opinion on which is better. It's currently the law here. I disagree with the law here. To me, it's
extreme.
Reckless.
Yeah, it's extreme.
But at the same time, each state gets to kind of weigh in on their own.
Well, and that's what I mean. Do you want to see the states make decisions, that, even if they're varied amongst themselves, or do you want to see the federal government come in and say, here's our one-size-fits-all approach to America?
I think, putting it to the states is probably the best answer. They, everybody knows their population. They can vote on it. And I think that's what, these justices are saying, is let's return this decision to the people. So let them vote on it.
Joe O'Day, Republican candidate for the United States Senate. Man, I know we're going to have you on again before the 28th. We'll have your opponent on as well for that. And then I don't know if we'll ever be able to get Michael Bennett on, but the invitation's out there. If you know Michael Bennett or you're a supporter, reach out to him. You know I'm going to treat him with respect and ask him all the good, hard questions. Joe O'Day, I will see you, I know that, in the very near future. So thanks for taking time to call us.
George, thanks for having me.
I left
me
this
on.
Out. How do people find out about you? I totally forgot to ask you that.
I was going to add it there, joeoday.com. It's joeoday.com. Look us up. Donate to us. We've got a great campaign running. We're really excited to be your next U.S. Senator.
Awesome. Joe O'Day, considering going with just Joe Day. I appreciate that you're considering. Even if it doesn't happen, I think it's catchy. Joe Day, U.S. Senate. So anyway, Joe, thank you so much for that.
Take care, George. Thanks again.
All right, sir. Hey, when we come back, we will look. Let me take calls on anything you heard there that was either illuminating to you, something you wanted to comment on at 303-696-1971. I will also return to that topic that has driven really an hour and a half-ish, maybe 2 hours of the show, and that's discussion of 2,000 Mules. Did you watch it on Saturday? We didn't get a chance to talk about it on Monday. And does it change your mind? Does it reinforce your beliefs? And is it the kind of thing we had Joan, I think, in the 6 or 7 o'clock hour say, look, I saw it. I'm so disheartened. I'm not even sure I'm going to vote in November. That is the wrong answer from this guy right here. Let's talk to you about it. 303-696-1971. I want to quickly, before I cut away, tell you about our friends at Pure Bella Vita. They have come up with this product called C60 Complete that is this patented formula of black seed oil and curcumin and all natural oils that actually helps to deal with things like cell regeneration. I'm using my term. It retards the destruction of cells. It helps with inflammation. It helps with sleep and reduction of stress. All these things. It's like a doctor formula, scientifically looked at and proven sort of thing that I researched on my own before I started taking it. And yes, I've been taking it. And I researched it. And this curcumin stuff is legit. I mean, if you find there's like National Institutes of Health or something kind of studies like that that I looked at. I didn't just go to like WebMD. And this stuff is legit. And so take this that you call them up. It's super easy to get a hold of them. You can go to their website, purebellavita.com. That's purebellavita.com, two L's and a T in Pure Bella Vita, and look this stuff up. And I got to tell you, you try it, and then maybe you call in or text in or email. Tell me how it's making you feel. That's the next phase of this, is we're going to have a testimonial. I know it. It's not just me. They also have a line for dogs and cats and horses. And if it can do wonders for your dogs, cats, and horses, man, there aren't too many supplements out there that will do something like this. So reach out to our friends at purebellavita.com. Try that C60 Complete. It's called C60 Complete. When we come back, Joy, Joe, Mary, everybody on hold. Phone lines are full. We'll continue this conversation. 303-696-1971. George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
More than just headlines. This is George Brockler, News Talk 710 KNUS.
I'm afraid to guess that this music is The Cars because Billy comes in to crush me when I'm wrong. He did it already once today. George Brockler back with you here at 710 KNUS. Someone who's been on hold for, I think, a day, and we love her for doing it, our friend Joy Overbeck. Joy, you're on 710 KNUS. Thanks for holding, Joy. What do you think?
Sure. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
First of all, you know, this movie is being streamed since Saturday on your station, which is Salem Broadcasting, right?
Is it for free? Is it for free?
Oh, come on, George. You've been talking about it for weeks. You got to see it, okay?
Believe me, I want to watch it.
I'll send you $10 so you don't have to pay for it.
Done. Venmo me. Venmo me.
I'm putting it in the mail right now.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to point this out, is like your standard whenever you talk about this, and as I've said before, you're really kind of handicapped because you haven't seen the film.
More ways than that.
The standard seems to be really, no, just kidding, seems to be absolute proof. Well, you're not going to get absolute proof, even in any trial, as you know, as a prosecutor. The standard is never absolute proof. So I'd urge you to go to the standard, which is common in trials, which is proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Okay. I'm happy to use that standard. But, Joy, let me ask you, because we're having the conversation, I'm not looking for absolute proof. What I'm looking for is how did we get from point A to whatever point their point is.
Can I elucidate that a little bit?
Yeah, please.
Maybe?
Please do.
Okay. And also, I'd urge that you look at circumstantial evidence. And I think that
I love circumstantial evidence.
Yeah. I know you do. And I know that there are a lot of convictions that are based on nothing but circumstantial evidence.
Not a lot, but some, for sure.
Well, some, yeah. Let me go through five elements of circumstantial evidence, okay, for you to consider, if I may. One of them is that, and because you keep asking, how do we know these ballots were not the express will of the voters? Again, you look at what a reasonable person is going to think when they see that these ballots were dropped off at sometimes 20, 25 boxes in one night, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. Is that a normal? You talked about maybe these are county employees or no? These are not county employees.
No, I didn't say that about them. I said that about the identified cell phone geolocating whatever it was.
Well, these are the people who went to the drop boxes that are located by the cell phone data.
Well, Joy, you remember, and I didn't see the movie, but this is what Dinesh says, and he agreed to this, and this is what I've read on some other things. They don't have any information tying any of the cell phone information to the actual people at the drop boxes. They don't have anything.
Oh no,
like
that's not true. I think you may have misunderstood. This is why you need to see the movie,
well,
okay?
Because
they have little lines that show you. It's just how the investigators, the FBI, identified people at the January 6th riot.
Yeah.
Is they did it through the cell phone tracking. Same kind of deal. If you see their setup, it's highly technical what they did. If you look at that, you'll see what I mean. Another element of circumstantial evidence.
But that circumstantial evidence of which part though? Before we get to the next one.
Let me just tell you what I want to say, and then you can ask me, okay? Because
sure.
I just want to go through this
sure,
quickly.
Joy.
They took pictures, these people who dropped these ballots off, sometimes only 5 or 6 or 7 at a time. Sometimes they were falling on the ground because there were more than that.
Yeah.
There were very few cameras at these places, first of all. Well, there were sometimes cameras because these are not legal drop boxes. These are drop boxes that were funded by the $350 million in Zuckerbucks that went to organizations like the Center for Technology and Civic Life.
Are those illegal drop boxes?
Yeah, they are.
Under the law?
look at, this is part of the whole deal, is they are not supervised drop boxes.
Well, I get what you're saying with that. That's a legit point. But are they illegal under that state's law?
I think it depended on the state, is my impression of that. It depended on the state. And see, what these Zuckerbucks paid for is these operatives who went into the election offices as temporary employees. And these people did this kind of thing. And there's a whole I'll send you the link to the Federalist piece that explains all this, okay?
Yeah, but you're talking about there being funding that, and I want to clarify this, you're talking about funding that is being used by the government to put these boxes in place.
No, not the government. See, these grants were given by places like the Center for Technology.
But the grants to the government.
No, the grants went to different election offices. Okay, if you want to call that
the government.
But then the money was used to pay for these Democrat and leftist operatives who were actually hired in these government election offices. See, that's the part that's completely new, is using private funds for what should be just funded by government.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that at all. We see our own governor, as you know, Joy, doing the same thing, taking these monies from these outside. I get it. But to get back to the point, though, is that evidence that the ballots that were counted were not legit ballots?
Well, let me give you some more circumstantial evidence, okay? And as I say, the reasonable person, what would a reasonable person conclude from somebody who was tracked to 20 or 30 boxes, dropped off ballots at 3 or 4 in the morning, wore gloves? Why did they wear surgical gloves? Not gloves because their hands were cold. Surgical gloves that then they took off, and you can see this in a lot of the footage.
I don't know, COVID, cooties,
No. It's because in Arizona, I believe it was, the day before they started wearing gloves all over the country in these places where these drop boxes were, the FBI had actually tracked a ballot stuffer person, I think it was in Arizona, via their fingerprint.
No, that's not my understanding. The person that was indicted, it wasn't from fingerprints.
Well, that's what's in the movie, okay? And I think that's probably the truth. You got to see the movie, is what I'm saying.
Yep, I get
anyway, and then they started wearing these gloves the next day, and they also took pictures of themselves stuffing the ballots in the box, so they would be paid this $10.
Well, hold on. How do you know they were paid?
Because there is one whistleblower, and you're like, why is there only one whistleblower?
Well, hang on.
Think about it.
But there's one whistleblower in one state. You can't then extrapolate that to Pennsylvania.
You know what? Again.
Joy, that's not circumstantial evidence. I'm not even sure that would come into trial.
Okay,
if you had a trial about Pennsylvania, that person in Georgia or wherever it was that said, I'm a paid ballot person, wouldn't even come into evidence.
But we're not talking about a court case. George,
you brought up the standard of proof from a court case.
I know, because you're using an incorrect, in my opinion, standard of proof, which is absolute proof, which isn't going to happen, because you can't look at those ballots because they are gone. They've been counted. That's the whole point. Where did they get those ballots? See, this is the question that's not answered by the movie, and I think it's because.
Oh, hang on. So the question that's not answered is these were fraudulently voted ballots. Right. I mean, that's not answered.
The question that's not answered is where did they get these ballots? OK,
but that's a big part, because those ballots could have been gotten from real voters.
Well, this is it. If you look at what they did with the ballots and the fact that they actually picked up the ballots, according to the cell phone tracking, from what are identified in the movie as left-wing nonprofits, I'd imagine Media Matters, and of course the Center for Technology, of which one of our candidates, our actual Republican candidate who's running for Secretary of State, Pam Anderson, was a board director, one of only five, and secretary of this group, the Obama group. Oh, actually, they office in Obama's election offices in Chicago, the Center for Technology and Civic Life, got $350 million, and Pam Anderson was part of these illegal ballot boxes, placing these in these Democrat big cities all over the swing states. It was very, very cleverly done. But if you look at...
And Joy, I appreciate all that, and forgive me, because I want to get the other callers on, too. But to get to the point of this, is that throughout the entire movie, they put together some stuff that causes some suspicion, for sure. Right. Like, you're definitely suspicious. Why would these people do it? But what that doesn't lead to is the conclusion that the ballots themselves were not the expressed will of legitimate voters. And that is game, set, and match when it comes to the 2020 election.
No, it's not. Again, if you just look at it as a reasonable person would, there's
a reasonable person would conclude that those ballots were fraudulent?
You got to see the movie, George.
I know, but I'm asking you, is it based on what?
A reasonable person would conclude that the ballots were fraudulent because they were picked up at these left-wing groups. How do they know that? Because they tracked them, okay? Why didn't they name the groups? Except they did name
I have
CCL.
No idea. But Joy, let me just throw something out as a hypothetical here. And that is these left-wing groups, and I agree they exist, and I agree they go out and do this. They go out and canvass all the areas with the folks that they think are most likely to vote for their candidate, their guy, Joe Biden, or whatever. And so they go out there and they say, hey, we'll drop your ballots off. And they go around and they collect them all up. And let's even say that they can't do that under the law. So what? They take them back
okay, if they're legitimate ballots.
Hold on, Joy. They're going to do it. They grab them up. And I'm making this up because I don't know. They all take them to this centralized place. And then they tell these other folks, hey, guys, we want you to make sure that these get into the ballot boxes.
Well,
oh, by the way.
Why would they be dropping them off at 3 in the morning?
Joy, you got to let me finish because I'm answering that. But they say, look, we want all these in the ballot boxes. But if you do it one at a time, it's going to take an eternity. Go ahead and go under the cover of darkness, and let's go ahead and break the law when it comes to putting more ballots in there. Joy, this happens here in Colorado. It happens. I know it happens in other places. I'm just saying.
20 or 30 boxes per night at 3 in the morning.
I have no idea if it's 20 or 30 boxes, but that is not proof that those were not ballots that were voted by real voters. They have other methods to check that, and that's part of that signature verification stuff and all this other thing. And I'm not telling you that means the system is flawless, and I'm not telling you these people didn't break the law. What I'm saying is you can't say because we found people breaking the ballot harvesting law, the ballots themselves were fake. You can't do that.
Well, a reasonable person would believe that.
No, I don't agree a reasonable person would. I think some people would. I think if you're working from the idea that, hey, there was fraud here and you see this, you're like, aha, there's proof of the fraud. If you look at it from the front end, the next question you have to ask Dinesh is, get me there, buddy. Now show me that the ballots they stuffed into those ballot depositories were wrong. Tell me that they were fake.
Riddle me this. Why do they wear gloves? Why do they drop them off at 3 in the morning? Why do they?
No idea. Maybe they don't want to get caught putting those ballots in the box. I'll give you that much. So what? Maybe they know they're breaking a law that says you can't put more than one ballot in a box. Who cares? What does that have to do with the validity of the voted ballot itself? Where's that fraud?
It's a reasonable person.
So, yeah, Joy, I mean, listen. We can get there, but I need more evidence than that. And I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for the extended conversation. Listen, Joe and everybody else on hold at 303-696, I will get to you after this last break before our last segment. I will do it. But I got to remind you about our good friends at El Dorado Tax Solutions. Listen, I sat down with Brian and Nicole, two of the many tax advocates that they have. And that's what they are. They're advocates for taxpayers. And they help you out, and great people, by the way. And they're Arvada people, much like Gay Ribble, our other good friend. They're Arvada people, grew up in the area. I mean, I love the fact that we have these businesses that are here. Their business has exploded. They do stuff border to border throughout the U.S. They are experts here in guiding you through this ERC process. That's that employee retention credit program thing. And you got to jump on that while the jumping's good. $26,000 per employee to help you get through what the lasting effects of COVID were, the shutdown for you. Even if you don't have lasting tax liability that this can be applied to, it could be that money you need to springboard through what is going to be a very challenging economy as we see these interest rates and inflation and fuel and everything keep climbing up. You got to call these folks to help you get through that process. ERC funds. They can help you get out of the hole you're in or to help you move forward. El Dorado Tax Solutions offers many ways to get help for their clients. You got to call them, 720-769-7433, 720-769-7433, or you can visit them at eldoradotaxsolutions.com, eldoradotaxsolutions.com. Tell them you heard about them right here on KNUS with George. Until we come back, you are listening to George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live on Odyssey. Text the studio directly on the 710 KNUS app. Get it free at the App Store or Google Play.
George George Brockler right back with you here for the final segment of The George Show on 710 KNUS. We'll be replaced by Charlie Kirk, and then we go back to live and local with our buddy doing a killer job in the afternoon. You got to tune in. I do whenever I'm driving around. I can't hit the full 4 hours, but I do catch a ton of it because I'm driving around here, there, and everywhere, kids, sports, and all that other stuff. Stephen Tubbs, 327. I want to get right back to the phone lines. Joe, you're on 710 KNUS. Joe, what do you think?
Good morning. Good morning. That was quite a little debate between you two.
Yeah, that was something. Joy's definitely dug in on the facts, man. I just got to figure out a way to see that movie so I can take that one away from her.
I just have some little comments to make about Joe O'Day.
On the discussion? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, he sounds like a really nice guy. But he said that the Biden administration is, I'm going to do it real quick. Biden administration was asleep at the wheel. I don't think they're asleep at all. I think they know exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then also, we talk about those cars, and they don't even, some of these stations that you go and charge these things, they're all messed up around the country. They can't even use them. And some of these buses that are electric are blown up. It's just nuts to me. But anyway, my main reason for calling was the situation on abortion. And Joe O'Day, I heard him once say, I'm not running on social issues in Colorado. I'm here to help Coloradans. And I'm thankful for that in the sense that I'm a Colorado native of 70-some years. And it's a mess here now. It's terrible what Polis and the administration here have done, to me, in my opinion. But my main opinion here is, and it's just my opinion because I come from a Christian valued base here, that I think we should stand up. If we look at how our country was based, it was, and you look at our coin, it says, in God we trust. Well, if we trust in God as who is sovereign over all this, then we have to value life. We have to stand up for life. It says life in pursuit of happiness.
So when you hear Joe come on and talk about, we had that conversation about,
yes,
should this,
yes,
be a federal issue, should it be a state issue, and all that. What are you hearing that either gives you concern or that you agree with?
Well, that you know, I heard when he says, I'm not running on social issues. Everything's a social issue now. Our schools, everything. And it's like we have to stand up and say, yes, I will not agree with somebody who wants to abort a baby. That's just my opinion.
Under any circumstances.
That is life, other than the mother's health. There have been the little gal that's running in. I can't remember where she is. She's a little black lady, a really sweet lady. And she said, I was raped at 11 years old. I was raped at 11 years old by a 21-year-old, I think it was a family member or something,
yeah,
and she wouldn't be here. And you know what? We have to go. You can't even look at this world and see that we don't go through trials and tribs. It's not easy, but our Lord went through trials and tribs.
This
he
is the kind of thing, though,
on that cross.
And you've proven this. This is the kind of thing where people are emotional, they're spiritual,
yes,
it's faith. I get all that stuff. So let me ask you the question that I asked Joe O'Day, and that was, which level of government should address this?
States.
So you want the state to address it. Now, you're in a,
yes,
state that, as
and
you know,
I'll tell you
where,
why. Because if,
yeah,
these people don't stand up in the state, that's on their souls.
I think, I want the states involved in this, too. And I think the argument against it is, hey, we're going to create this patchwork of rules and stuff. I don't think that's the relevant measure of anything. Like, if all we wanted is uniformity, we can wipe away all the state lines. And
I'll
just
tell
do
you what.
Every one of those
representatives, I swear to God, this is what I believe. They need to go in and watch that baby at 9 months old coming out of that woman die in a room by itself. Maybe they'll change their tune.
They might, but for purposes of this conversation, and I imagine there's a lot of people out there that agree with you, but I also believe there's probably some who are like, listen, I'm not big on the abortion law that we have. I think it's horrible, but
it
I can
horrible.
See circumstances other than the life of the mother where I think it ought to be permissible. And so that gets us to this big question, and that is, who ought to decide? And so what I was really looking for out of Joe, and I think he ultimately got there, and he got to where you are, which is, I don't want the feds playing a role in this.
That's
I want
right.
this to
I don't
be
either.
A state issue, even when the state does something I disagree with, like Colorado did. Like, we might have a better shake with the next Congress once the Republicans take over.
Absolutely.
We might have a better. I don't want them involved in this. I really do want the states to have this debate and make this decision.
But you know what? Nothing's going to change if we don't have, in my opinion, if we don't have legal voting. If we aren't,
well, that, and that brings
that
us
we
all.
Go to that
you've done a great
pool.
Job, Joe, of bringing us right back around to the conversation we've had all morning. And forgive me, you hear that music playing? That means I got to go. Thank you, Joe, for the spirited conversation and for listening. You keep calling in. Listen, we'll be back tomorrow to have more of these conversations. We're going to have, I think, Hugh McKean on to talk to us about what did and didn't happen in the legislature that wraps up today. Until that time, George Brockley right here on 710 KNUS.
Hugh Hewitt sees slow progress ahead for the economy.
Wall Street just sold off. Woo! Big time. And I'll tell you what, it's probably going to go on for a while because the market knows the Fed meets every couple of months and is going to raise interest rates a half point until such time as inflation is broken, because every single person knows inflation is the enemy here. It'll be a year before we start to climb steadily again, maybe two.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weeknights at 10 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hey, Mike, what are you doing way up on that ladder? You're going to hurt yourself.
Oh, I'm trying to unclog these gutters.
That's smart. I had water damage from my gutters last year. It cost me $10,000.
Wait, $10,000?
Yeah, and from over here, it looks like water's been pouring over your clogged gutters, and it's probably doing real damage to your foundation. You need to do what I did. Get off the ladder and call Leaf Filter.
Yeah, but I need to get these gutters flowing now.
That's why you need to call Leaf Filter. They'll clean and realign your gutters and install their exclusive micro-mesh screen system so nothing gets in your gutters except water.
So Leaf Filter protects my house from damage and means no more gutter cleaning for me?
Bingo. Plus, Leaf Filter has an industry-leading lifetime warranty, so your gutters are covered for life.
Thanks, Frank. I'm calling Leaf Filter today.
Don't go another day with your home unprotected. Call 1-844-300-LEAF or go to tryleaffilter.com for your free gutter inspection. Call 1-844-300-LEAF or go to tryleaffilter.com right now for an extra 15% savings. Call 1-844-300-LEAF or go to tryleaffilter.com. That's 1-844-300-LEAF.
Before Bamboo HR, I feel like crying just thinking about it.
We were still handling everything via paper, and we literally had paper stacked.
It was all in spreadsheets and like folders.
From the moment I started using it, I felt calmer.
As soon as we started using the Bamboo like onboarding checklist, I mean, it was extremely easy.
Headcount, turnover, years of service. Like, there's just so many different reports that I use at different points in time.
I'm like totally set free to focus on the people, to focus on development, to focus on team dynamics.
It's freeing me up to do more of the stuff that actually matters in HR, which is interacting with people, learning from them, and then building stuff for them.
Everything is in this one place. I can't even imagine what it would be like without Bamboo HR.
We're Bamboo HR, and we'd love to set you free to do great work. Come try our award-winning all-in-one HR software for free with no strings attached. Visit BambooHR.com/HR for this free trial offer. That's BambooHR.com/HR.
This is Dan Kaplis. Ben Franklin said that well done is better than well said. That applies directly to personal injury law. Actions speak louder than words. Talk is cheap. Results matter. At our firm, we've achieved truly historic results, which we'd be proud to share with you. We're a serious firm for serious cases. We take righteous cases on a percentage fee basis. If you need our help with a serious injury or, God forbid, wrongful death case, please give me a call, 303-770-5551, or hit DanKaplisLaw.com. That's DanKaplisLaw.com.
It's easy and profitable to be kind to others when you enter the Kindness Challenge. Each day for 30 days, we'll post a new act of kindness that you can do for others. On June 1st, you could win $5,000, and a deserving organization will also receive $5,000 in your name. You can make a difference in others' lives when you enter the Kindness Challenge.
The Kindness Challenge is brought to you in part by Littleton Jewelry, your home for custom jewelry, diamonds, and repairs.
In 2008, I wrote The Dumbest Generation. This is Mark Bauerlein. The millennials I wrote about have grown up now with little faith, patriotism, knowledge, art and literature, civics, without purpose and looking to fill the void. They found the answer in utopian dreams of perfect justice and universal happiness that will only disappoint them. My new book, The Dumbest Generation Grows Up, From Stupefied Youth to Dangerous Adults, lays out the wreckage and shows how to rescue the next generation.
Get Mark Bauerlein's timely new book, The Dumbest Generation Grows Up.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.